Gegen den Klimawandel unternimmt niemand etwas. Wer hat, dem wird gegeben werden. Und Frauen verdienen weniger. War ja immer schon so. Man ärgert sich und macht weiter. Was aber, wenn nicht? Wir haben eine Idee. Die Falter Arena macht die Bühne frei für Menschen und Projekte, die das Land verändern. Mein Name ist Eva Konzett. Ich leite das Politikressort im Falter. Und am Sonntag, den 26. Mai, veranstalten wir im Wiener Stadtsaal die nächste Falter Arena. Mit dabei unter anderem der ehemalige Politiker und Neosänger Matthias Strolz, Theresa Imre von Magda, Sonja Jöchtl von Love Politics oder Kari Ochsner von Ochsner Wärmepumpen. Machen statt jammern. Wir schauen uns an, wie das funktionieren kann. Kommen auch Sie vorbei. Alle Informationen und Tickets finden Sie unter falter.at/arena.
Falter-Podcasts werden durch Werbung unterstützt. Das hilft bei der Finanzierung unseres journalistischen Angebots.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Falter Radio, der Podcast mit Raimund Löw.
Sehr herzlich willkommen, meine Damen und Herren, im Falterradio. Donald Trumps Götterdämmerung ist der Titel dieser Sendung. Das Gespenst des Donald Trump erschreckt Europa und verstört die USA. Spätestens beim versuchten Staatsstreich vom 6. Jänner 2021, als rechtsextreme Trump-Fans das Kapitol stürmten, war klar, dass der frühere Präsident die liberale Demokratie aus den Angeln heben will. Dem Einfluss Trumps im konservativen Lager der USA taten die zahlreichen Enthüllungen über seine antidemokratischen Machenschaften keinen Abbruch. Der ehemalige Präsident will 2024 ein Comeback und bis vor kurzem hatte Trump die Republikanische Partei fest im Griff. Aber die Zwischenwahlen diesen Herbst brachten erstaunliche Rückschläge für die Trumpisten. Dazu kommen Gerichtsverfahren, Sonderzahl für den Ex-Präsidenten. Amerika erlebt die Götterdämmerung von Donald Trump, erläutert in dieser Folge ein Insider des amerikanischen Konservativismus. David Frum, den Sie gleich hören werden, war Redenschreiber von George W. Bush. Er ist ein prominenter konservativer Vordenker der USA. Gegen Trump hat sich David Frum immer engagiert. Hören Sie ein Gespräch über den aktuellen Stand der amerikanischen Politik, das Falter-Redakteur Martin Staudinger mit David Frum auf Englisch geführt hat.
Since last week we have a final outcome of the midterm elections. The Democrats have lost a majority in the House of Representatives, but they kept the majority in the Senate. And very significant, they kept it because a lot of candidates backed and endorsed by Donald Trump lost in their states. What tipped the scales was Georgia, which was decided in a runoff on December 6th. And afterwards, Scott Jennings, a former aide to the Republican Senator Mitch McConnell, said that Georgia may be remembered as the state that broke Trump once and for all. So do you think Donald Trump is already done?
May I expand on your point about the midterms? Because if people are not following American politics closely, they may not appreciate what an amazing midterm success President Biden has just had. Because when you look only at the House and Senate, it looks like, well, the Democrats gained and lost. It's a mixed result. This was the best result for the party of the president in years, if not decades. And let's go through the ballot to see how well they did. Now, normally what happens when the president is not on the ballot is turnout drops and the party of the president loses seats. 20 or 30 seats in the House would be normal to lose. 2 to 6 in the Senate would be normal to lose. The party of the president lost 9 seats in the House of Representatives. They gained 2 seats in the Senate. They gained 1 seat in the Senate. But they also gained 2 governorships. And they held their own in the state legislatures. There are 99 state legislatures in the United States, two in every state except for Nebraska, which has one. It is normal for the party of the president to lose many. Biden's party, for the first time since 1934, did not lose a single chamber in any of the 99 state chambers. Of the many thousands of state legislators, individuals, the party of the president lost only about 50 or 60. So those are astonishing results. To gain one senator and two governors, especially, is a very dramatic result. Meanwhile, Trump promoted candidates, the so-called election deniers. He was putting them into these positions as Secretary of State, a very important position in state voting mechanisms. In every state where it mattered, like I think a pro-Trump endorsed person won in Wyoming, which is a very Republican state, but in the contested states like Arizona and Pennsylvania, all the Trump endorsed secretaries of state, all of them, everyone lost. So this is a quite dramatic result. And Trump clearly does deserve much of the blame from a Republican point of view. He foisted on the party many, many weak candidates. But contrary to what the spokesman for Mitch McConnell said, the blame is not Donald Trump's alone. The Republican Party had many deeper problems going into this election, including their position on abortion. And the party of the president had many strengths that tend to get overlooked going into this midterm election.
Do you think the race is already decided?
Against Donald Trump? Certainly not.
Because from the outside, it seems that his momentum broke. He has lost quite a lot of supporters. For example, the New York Post of Rupert Murdoch ridiculed him on its front pages. Trumpty Dumpty, John Bolton said another candidacy must be prevented. Donors withdrew, moderate party members as well. Who still backs him?
Who still backs him? Our rank and file. He is the single most popular candidate within the Republican Party. So nominees are picked not by Fox News, not by the people who write million-dollar checks, although obviously both of those are very important. They are picked by tens or hundreds of thousands of Republicans who go and vote in state primaries. And for those people, Donald Trump remains the most popular. Now, I think you are correct that he has lost strength. And he is also making many errors that he has become a less skillful demagogue than he used to be. When Donald Trump ran for president in 2015, he talked about issues that conservative Americans cared about a lot. He talked about the crisis of drug addiction that we were having that was especially hitting rural America, opioids. Very much a crisis of a way that is, it hits everywhere, but it is really ravaging the non-metropolitan areas. And in 2015, it was not visible to people in big media, big cities. Donald Trump talked about that. He talked about the shock of trade with China. He talked about immigration, legal and illegal. He talked about things that mattered to conservative voters. In 2022, he is talking about his own grievances. He's talking about his own personal problems. So that makes him a less effective demagogue than he used to be. And also he faces enormous legal troubles. Just shortly before you and I spoke, the president's business was convicted of criminal tax fraud. That's not a personal conviction of Donald Trump, but the prosecutors argued to a jury that Donald Trump approved every criminal act of his company, and the jury accepted that. So he faces a lot of challenges, but it is very premature to say that it's over. And meanwhile, they have to nominate somebody, and it's not clear that the alternatives to Trump will excite the Republican rank and file.
The only name that comes through to Europe is Governor Ron DeSantis from Florida. Do you think he has a chance?
Well, he is, in polls of Republicans, the second most popular. He's certainly massively popular with the rich donors to the party. And he gets, I think he gets better press on Fox News than Vladimir Putin gets from the Russian press. So those are all considerable advantages. But he has problems too. And in particular, he's not a very exciting personality. So it, whereas Donald Trump is. So it's not clear that he will energize the Republican rank and file. There's one special problem that Governor DeSantis has. He just won re-election in Florida with 59% of the vote, which is a big personal victory. His secret in Florida was that he talked like an extremist, but he governed more pragmatically. So he would pick, so you could balance, if you were a moderate voter in Florida, a moderate conservative, you could ignore what he said and focus on what he did. He has had a good environmental record on state issues like the Florida Everglades. He raised teacher pay. He kept the schools open during COVID. That was a big gamble for him. And I think Floridians believe he made the right decision. And they can then ignore the silly stunts he does, like putting migrants from Venezuela on a private jet and flying them to Martha's Vineyard and lying to them and almost kidnapping them. You can ignore all of that because he's delivered for you on the Everglades and the schools. But when he makes the transition to national candidate, the national electorate will only see the things he says and will not feel the things he does. And the things he does, because they were Florida specific, it's not clear how important they will be to a national electorate.
Would you expect to win Donald Trump the primaries in the Republican Party?
Look, I think you are getting way ahead of yourself when you think about that. I need to know, when you ask that question, here's some things I need to know. The first is, how much legal trouble is Donald Trump in 2023? I mean, he could face all kinds of criminal jeopardy, from stealing secret presidential documents and storing them improperly at Mar-a-Lago, that his company's tax trouble, I mean, having proven to a jury that the company was a criminal organization, New York State, the logical next step is that they'll say, well, who authorized these criminal acts? The CEO and only owner of the company. And so he may face that kind of jeopardy. He faces legal jeopardy arising from the January 6th attack on Congress. So those may all be real issues. We also have an uncertainty of, we have been waiting in the United States all through the year for a recession to show up because of the increases in interest rates by the Federal Reserve. As of the time that you and I speak, there are some evidence of an economic slowdown, but people are staying on unemployment insurance a little longer than they did before. But we have no real evidence of a recession. The economy grew strongly in the third quarter of 2022. Unemployment is still low. Will that recession show up in 2023? Or will the United States get very lucky and suppress the inflation without a recession? So those are all things that are going to matter a great deal. And of course, there's the question about President Biden's intentions. He is an old man for politics, for the presidency, and will he seek a second term? Biden's super secret power was he had, for a Democrat, unusual appeal to men. Democrats have had a problem with male voters, and especially white male voters. Biden did well with that category in 2020. It's not clear there's another Democrat who can do as well with men as Biden has done. And if he steps down or is unavailable for some reason in 2024, that will alter a lot of calculations.
Is there anyone on the Democratic side that would be an alternative to Biden?
As a practical matter, the only alternative to Biden is his vice president, Kamala Harris. That to replace her would be a bloodbath. Kamala Harris gets a lot of bad press. She gets a lot of negative comment. Vice presidency is a very, very difficult job because it's hard to look like a leader when you're a deputy. And it's up to the president to help the vice president to look like a leader. And some presidents have been very careful to promote their vice president and make them look strong and effective. Jimmy Carter did that for Walter Mondale. Ronald Reagan did that for George H.W. Bush. Dick Cheney, of course, had no further political ambitions beyond the vice presidency, and George W. Bush trusted him a lot. But Biden has not given Kamala Harris the platform and opportunities that Ronald Reagan gave to George H.W. Bush, and she has suffered for it. But there's no way to replace her. He would have to fire her, and that would be very politically difficult. So I think she is his natural running mate, and if he doesn't run, she's his natural successor.
From a European point of view, US politics seem simple because there are only two parties, but in fact, we don't understand it at all. It's a mystery. Could you just explain how the GOP could be located in a European political system? What kind of party is it in 2022 or 2023?
Right. Well, one of the things I often argue is that the politics of consolidated democracies are actually quite similar one to another. The social forces in the wealthier EU countries and the United States are very similar, but they are fed through very different kinds of institutions as they produce different kinds of results. So our parties are, of course, all vast coalitions from a European point of view. So the Republican Party includes a European Liberal Party, pro-enterprise. That used to be the single strongest faction. It's now much weaker than it used to be. We have very socially conservative elements, both racially conservative, sexually conservative, and religiously conservative. And there's some overlap, but they're not always the same thing. We have a lot of people who would be in the, a lot of people who are resentful of the modern world, modern economy. I think it's true in the German-speaking countries that there are people who might vote one year for the far right and might vote the next year the far left, because what they're really voting is they're uncomfortable with the modern world. And you have many of those votes inside the Republican Party, people who don't like trade, don't like immigrants, don't like the changes in gender roles. They feel that people like them don't get the respect that they deserve. And a lot of those votes show up inside the Republican Party. And so one of the problems the Republican Party has had in since the Great Recession, maybe, but maybe going back farther than that, is it is a party whose platform, whose policies are the most economically open, but it depends on the votes of people who are most afraid of the modern economy. And that creates a very unstable mix.
Because it seemed from European point of view that the GOP just became mad during the last years.
Well, you and I are speaking just a few hours after German police arrested 100 people in a plot to try to overthrow the Bundesrepublik by violence. I think we would all be wiser on both sides of the Atlantic if we understood, while our institutions are very different, you know, many European countries have monarchs, the United States does not, presidential versus parliamentary system, greater degree of social provision in Europe than in the United States. There are important differences. But societies that are consolidated democracies that have average incomes in north of $40,000, they have a lot of the same social mix, and that I think a lot that when you look at these 100 people who have just been arrested in Germany, they're going to look a lot like the people who arrested in the United States after January the 6th.
I think you were a member of the Republican Party.
Is I am.
You are still.
We don't. I should stress here. We don't have membership. If you're a member of a European party, yes, I'm a registered Republican, so I don't pay $5 a year or whatever. I don't have a party card. Those things don't exist. You become a Republican because when you are registered to vote, you are asked which primary would you like to vote in.
And you are still in the GOP, and you don't intend to leave it.
I do. I mean, I'm very dismayed by a lot of tendencies in the Republican world, but I do regard them as my problems, and I have to contribute to the solution of them.
Can we call you a never Trumper? Does this apply?
Yeah, it's good enough.
Okay. So, in your opinion, what should the party do to stop Donald Trump to run again for presidency in 2024?
The most important thing to do is for the party not to get in the way of proper law enforcement. And the leaders of the party know that not only is the Biden administration not punishing Donald Trump, but I mean, if literally anybody else in the world had done the things that Donald Trump has done, steal government documents, try to overthrow the government election, they would long since have been charged with crimes and sent to prison. In fact, Donald Trump has benefited enormously from the hesitation of the American legal system to take legal action against a prominent politician. So the most important thing the Republicans do is simply say, we have no comment on legal matters. Let justice proceed, and not try to make it even more difficult to enforce justice. Because if Donald Trump faces legal consequences, he will not be able to run. You're not prevented. It's not against the law. You can run for office while you're investigated. In fact, we had a governor of Massachusetts in the 1940s, I think, who was reelected from prison. But as a practical matter, as an electoral matter, if you face justice, it is very hard to run for reelection. So the Republicans need to get out of the way and let justice take its course. Deeper, though, I think that they need to understand that Donald Trump, although he was a amoral demagogue and a sinister figure and who ran what we can now call, because it's been confirmed by a jury, a criminal business enterprise, he didn't come from nowhere. And so the deeper work is to address the places from which he came and to deal with those. And to the project for Republicans is to build a center-right political party that is at home in the modern world, that stands for enterprise, stands for property, that defends local initiative against centralization, but that also is comfortable with the modern world. That's our problem.
Still, the resistance of the party elites is not too stiff.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The party elites would be very happy to see Donald Trump go. But they're not happy for us to offer responsible solutions to healthcare problems. That's how we began to get into this problem. We need a Republican Party that says, look, we don't agree with state monopoly. We don't want to see the government be the only provider of healthcare services, but we are in favor of the government ensuring that people who need healthcare find the insurance so that they can get the healthcare coverage that they need. We need an environmental policy, and not one that has government dictating the future of energy, but one that puts a price on carbon and encourages the private sector to innovate. I think one of the things you see with a lot of European Green parties is they think our modern standard of living is the problem. A center-right party should say, no, our modern standard of living is an enormous achievement, and our challenge is to maintain and improve standards of living while also reducing carbon emissions. But of course, we are going to continue to live in a high technology society with capitalist enterprise and giant corporations. So we welcome all of those things. We just need to do it with fewer emissions. There are things that we need to get going on. And Donald Trump raised the question, should we have a constitution or not? Should we have a president for life who retains power by violence if he loses the vote? And that's not something even to consider when we have, that's criminal, and meanwhile, we have to get rid of the criminality and focus on the real problems, healthcare, the environment, maintaining world trading systems in the face of the reckless, sometimes, and belligerent behavior of China. We have to have a commitment to defend our allies all around the world, starting with Ukraine, but not limited to Ukraine, from aggression and subversion.
That was something I wanted to ask. How should be the attitude of GOP-led USA to the world, to the international community?
While we have had enormous changes since the end of the Cold War, the values that guided the Republican Party during the Cold War, the policies may need to change, but the values should remain consistent, which is it is a proud thing to have many democratic allies and partners. And it's a necessary thing to have some allies and partners who maybe are imperfect democracies. And to defend the world from aggression and subversion. If America doesn't take the lead, the other allies won't be able to coordinate it. And we have this demonstration. This is why NATO is more effective than the European Union. The European Union has many large partners, and they have great difficulty coming to an agreement. The United States has one, the NATO has one super large partner who can do, who spends most of the money, provides most of the troops, and therefore has the largest decision. And then that we just find it easier to coordinate when we have one big partner and a number of medium-sized partners than when we have lots of large partners, as in the EU. So it's indispensable. And this terrible violence in Ukraine brings it all to the fore. It reminds us what the world would look like if we didn't have the institutions built by our parents and grandparents.
Well, Mr. Frommer, thank you very much.
Sie hörten ein Interview mit dem amerikanischen Publizisten und konservativen Vordenker David Frum, das Falter-Redakteur Martin Staudinger geführt hat. Ich verabschiede mich von allen, die uns auf UKW hören, im Freirad Tirol und auf Radio Agora in Kärnten. Internationale Entwicklungen finden regelmäßig im Falter ihren Niederschlag, genau genommen jede Woche. Ein Falter-Abonnement ist ein ideales Weihnachtsgeschenk. Es erfreut die Beschenkten das ganze Jahr. Geschenksabos können Sie bestellen unter der Adresse faltershop.at/weihnachtsabos. Alle weiteren Informationen unter abo.falter.at. Ursula Winterauer hat die Signation gestaltet, Philipp Dietrich betreut die Audiotechnik im Falter. Ich verabschiede mich bis zur nächsten Sendung.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.